Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. I ask you to be in prayer for Judith. And she's at home in bed yesterday and today. And let's see, and Christmas Day, so 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, today. And just have to see if they can get it worked out, or medications. And any other, do you all have a prayer request or anything? Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things in your word that we assume we know and understand until we start examining it and realize that we do not understand it. Do not understand it according to Scripture. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight as we continue examining the dynamics of love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, we noted Romans number 1, where we're going to take a look at gravity. Then Romans number 2, we noted the concepts of force. Romans number 3 was one of the properties of force, direction. Now tonight we look at Romans number 4, another property of force, magnitude. This is the property of a force that can be measured or is measured in newtons. Now a newton, the standard of unit of force in the international system of units, SI, equal to the force that produces an acceleration of 1 meter, a little over 1 foot, per second, on a mass of 1 kilogram, a little over 2 pounds. That's all physics. We're not going to go there. Magnitude of gravity is also measured in pounds. Now, we're going to relate to all of that and get an understanding of spiritual love. Spiritual love is not measured in newtons or pounds, but spiritual love is measured. Magnitude is known by other words. Enormity, immensity, vastness, size, bigness, brightness. And this is one of the basic qualities of love in the Bible. Love is a force. And it can be measured. That is, spiritual love has magnitude. The Bible actually measures the magnitude of love. Look at John 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15.
You say newton?
Newton. It
should be newton.
No, well, newtons are what they measure, are the standard of measurement, the international system of units. N-E-W-T-O-N.
Right.
Newton.
Named after Isaac Newton.
I'm sorry?
Named after Isaac Newton.
Yes. But it's a standard of measurement in the international system.
He was just saying it's not newtons, it's newton.
Well, tell Google. Newton, newton. Google. Okay. Now, let's look at John 15, verse 13. No greater, there's a measurement, love hath any man than this, that he will lay down his life for his neighbor. This is a comparative adjective in the Greek. Megas. M-E-G-A-S. Great in force, intensity, effect. What the force of this magnitude of love will do. This love is of such magnitude that one will lay down his own life for another. And just on that note, That's why we owe so much to all the military personnel, and those who are current, and those that have served in their lifetime. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than, there's your measurement again, more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Here we have a Greek preposition, huper, H-U-P-E-R, over, more than. And note that it is issue of love that is related to our worthiness. Get that? Is not worthy of me. So the measure of love measures our worthiness. You measure your worthiness to the Lord, not by your works, but by your love, the magnitude of your love. Now, one of the effects of the magnitude of love is that you will serve. But the worthiness is not in the service, the worthiness is in the magnitude of your love. So, we had two now. So, we have one that no greater love. Here we have more than. Now, we still have another one. Look at John 21. We just said it. John 21. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, finished eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. Now this time we have a comparative adjective. So we've had a comparative adjective, magos. Now we have another comparative adjective, polus, P-O-L-U-S. The quantity, degree, or intensity. Now, one thing very important here is that nowhere, and this is important in understanding this passage, nowhere are we told, or is it even implied in Scripture, that we are to love more than another believer. You don't measure this believer loves the Lord more than this believer. Nowhere is that even implied in Scripture. Jesus Christ is not asking Peter if Peter loves Jesus Christ more than the other disciples love Jesus Christ. He is simply asking Peter if he loves Jesus Christ more than these fish that he's eating. Because I'm sure Peter was probably like me, enjoys eating. And boy, this is good stuff. Well, wait a minute. You love that more than me. So, nowhere is love set up, but this is important, nowhere is love set up as a performance system. Always remember that in dealing with love. Nowhere is love set up as a performance system whereby we compare and therefore compete with one another. This is not the nature of spiritual love. I love the Lord more than you. Whenever you hear these kinds of words, you know that you're not hearing one who truly understands love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Does not understand that one bit. When you hear these kind of words, bank on it, that person is not loving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are competing or trying to destroy another believer to build themselves up. We are to love the Lord more than we love something else, but not more than somebody else loves Him. That's never implied in Scripture. This is very difficult for believers to comprehend. We're to love the Lord more than we love brother, sister, father, mother, this type of thing, daughter. But we're not told to love Him more than another believer. That's not in the in the makeup of Scripture. We can increase our love. This is important about the magnitude of love. We can increase our love. We will see later just how this is accomplished. But remember, we do not increase our faith. The standard of measurement required by the Lord of faith, grain of mustard seed. For salvation, spirituality, living the Christian life. He doesn't ask you for more faith. That turns faith into works. Big faith movement. And I remember when I got into spirituality by faith rather than by works of confession, and what a lot of people did, they said that I was in the faith movement. No, not at all. You don't listen. Before you criticize somebody, you need to listen. And the faith movement, you have to have more faith or God won't function. That's not the concept in the Bible. The faith is always a grain of mustard seed. But as you grow in the Word of God, intensify your walking in the Holy Spirit, you will increase the magnitude of your love. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. We ought always to give thanks to God. This is Paul and his team. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, believers in Thessalonica, brethren, believers, as is only fitting, because of your faith, because your faith is greatly enlarged. I thought you just said faith isn't measured. What does it mean, greatly enlarged? And then it says, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even ever greater. So if you look at this on the surface, it looks like as you increase the magnitude of your faith, you increase the magnitude of your love. That's wrong. Then what is it saying? Okay, let's take a look at it. Because your faith is greatly enlarged. The Greek word means to flourish. This means that you learn to trust God in more areas of your life. The way I like to explain this, let's look at one's life as the fingers of a hand. Now, you trust God in three areas of your life. Two areas of your life, you have not reached a point where you trust Him yet. So, someone comes knocking on your door on a cold night. I'm hungry. Do you have something to eat? And you have not learned to trust God in that area, so you say to Him, all I have is one can of beans. If I had more, I would certainly try to give it to you, but I'm sorry, I can't. So, that He does not see your love. Now, in the 12-month period, you've increased an area of your life where you trust God to provide for you. You now trust God to provide for you. The same guy comes knocking at your door, forgot that he was there last year, and says, I'm hungry, you have something to eat. And you say, listen, all I have is a half a can of Campbell's soup, but you're welcome to come in and have it with me. Please come in. So what does he see? He sees love. He didn't see the love last year because the faith wasn't there. He didn't trust God. But now that you trust God in that area, he sees love. And that's how it is. So where faith is greatly enlarged, it goes over more areas of your life. God wants every area of our life. Most Christians hold out the thumb or the little finger, one or the other. They hold it out. They trust God here, they trust God there, they trust God, trust God. Trust God with their money. Trust God about the work. Trust God to provide. They don't trust God in their marriage, so they have to control their wife, control their husband. Or they don't trust God in their finances. Or they don't trust God in their health. Whatever it is, We all have areas we have to battle through and learn to trust Him. Now, on that level, that's the danger of getting to know someone. You get to know someone intimately, and you learn the area they're struggling with. And if you're prone to competition and judging, you'll judge them, malign them, instead of praying for them. And so, therefore, you see a weakness, and boy, you let them have it. That's the way a lot of people felt with C.I. Schofield. They learned he had a drinking problem. And boy, they tried to make a big, big deal about it. There's Barry Chafer. He's battling with it, working with it. And we're going to help him. We're going to work with him. See? That's the whole deal. Got to learn these areas. And one of my favorite stories of James Vernon McGee. James Vernon McGee was at Dallas Seminary. And it was late at night. And he was up. And he saw the student get off a bus there in front of the seminary on Swiss Avenue. And he was obviously intoxicated. All right. James Vernon McGee turns him around, gets back on the bus, and rides the bus with him for about an hour and a half. Stopped at a place, got him some coffee, took care of him. Got him back to the school. Most people were bedded down by then. Got him into his room. Got him bedded down. And the man went on to graduate from Dallas Seminary. See, now what if Vernon McGee had been a judgmental type? He could have crashed that guy right there. But he didn't do it. So, you see, the areas of your faith will be demonstrated in love. You trust God here, they'll see your love. You trust God there, they'll see your love. And that's how they'll know. You don't tell them I have love. You don't tell them I have faith. They'll see it. Well, this is the way this guy, he's learned, he abounds in the demonstration of love, which means he trusts the Lord in those areas. So, what we have here, because your faith is greatly enlarged, that means large more areas of your life. This is an assembly. More areas in the assembly. Not the amount of faith, that's a grain of mustard seed. But boy, it's tough to get a grain of mustard seed even for that one area. Some men just got to control their wife. Some men just have to be in control. Some have to just, they cannot handle it. Some people cannot trust him in finance. Some people cannot trust him in different areas of their life. And therefore, you do not see love in those areas. It's not there. The wife will not see love in that area because it's not there. The faith is not there. But once that man, that believer, learns to trust him in this area, wow, it will be demonstrated in love. So therefore, our passage says, because your faith is greatly enlarged, areas of life, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. It flourishes. Because you trust Him. You trust Him in this area, you're going to love out of that area in your life. So your area of faith increases, your demonstration of spiritual love will abound as far as your life is concerned. So, your spiritual love grows even greater. Present active indicative of perozo, to make or to be more, to increase, to abound. Make or cause to increase more than enough. This is powerful. More than enough. When you love to glorify Christ, your dealings with one another will be more than enough. Satisfy their needs, what they need. See? For an example, it's tough to get some believers to forgive 7 times. Don't even think about 7 times 70. See? But more than enough to lay down their life for another believer spiritually. And I've been doing a lot of work, and not work, but watching in the history of England, the time of where England broke with the Roman Church. And it's just amazing the number of people through church history who suffered persecution. And a lot of them did it because they wanted to make their stand for others so that others would be encouraged to take their stand. But they would be persecuted. So the whole love has to be more than enough. More than you love your own life, I'll die for him. But that becomes an issue of your trusting him. When you trust him that way, you're ready to die for him. See? No greater love hath any man. The magnitude of that love causes him to lay down his life for the other man. More than enough love to cover all the sins. There is something far more important. See? Most Christians don't have enough love to even forgive 7 times, much less 7 times 70. We're going to see that an essential aspect of love is magnitude. There are 3 ways of observing the magnitude of love. There are 3 ways of measuring or observing the magnitude of love. We have seen such words as greater, more than, but there is also a measure of time. Time of great testing. The point here is where you lay down your life. Point in time when called on to forgive, to reconcile, to encourage. The time comes in your life when you have to make that decision. Are you going to be able to do that? Time of testing is a time of love. Many people love, everything's going fine. But at a time when love is needed, they do not love. They judge. Or they remain silent. Or they run. Their love cannot endure the time. Time is related to the endurance of love. This is why 1 Corinthians 13, that we will look at later, 1 Corinthians 13, the first thing Paul says about love, love is long-suffering. Time. See, a lot of times people's love wears very thin. You've pushed me to the limit now. Now, having said that, I want you to understand, God's love is long-suffering. But when you study Ezekiel chapter 5, where he just flat let Israel have it, you can't reach that point. But it's long-suffering. A lot of people have a short fuse of love. That's it. You're out. I'm through. So, what you've got to have is the longevity, the long suffering of love. In physics, this is called impulse, I-M-P-U-L-S-E. But we won't get involved in the impulse of spiritual love other than understanding the concept of time with it. See? The Word of God simply says that spiritual love is macrothumia, long suffering. Question, how long will your love suffer? Spiritual love is long suffering. Principle, excuse me, the measure of magnitude of love is determined by your time in the filling of the Holy Spirit. The more time you spend in the filling of the Holy Spirit, the more time your love will be ready to be long-suffering. See? So magnitude of the force of gravity can be measured. The magnitude, the force of love, can be measured and is measured all the way through. God's love is measured. Man's love is measured. I've given you just a few examples. There are a multitude of other examples in the Scripture. But those were so blatant. Do you must love me more than, and lay, so great you lay down your life. Those are kind of things that let you see that it can be measured. Now, this is what we're going to call it quits tonight, because we're getting ready to go into Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 4, we've taken up direction of spiritual love. We've taken up the magnitude of spiritual love. And now we have something else we need to look at. We've looked at the force, direction, magnitude. Now we're going to look at cause, effect. Cause, effect. We'll look at this next Wednesday night. Both gravity and love make an effect or have an impact in your life. This one is extremely important in understanding love. Again, any of these three categories of love, divine, human, or spiritual love, has effect and result. We know this from human love. The effect of human love causes us to do some really strange things. Dave, Charlie Brown's in love with his little red-headed girl, and over and over and over, he will say, well, love makes you do some strange things. Dave, that's the effect of it. And if it doesn't have that effect, we're going to study why not. Why doesn't God's love for us have an effect? Why doesn't our love from the Holy Spirit have an effect? So we have a lot to learn about spiritual love. Okay, let's get home before it gets colder. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. For the Word of God, Heavenly Father, tells us of your love. Your love for each one of us individually. And we're so thankful for it. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we rebel against it. But Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that your love is long-suffering. Father, we pray now your Spirit can use it. The time we've spent tonight, the understanding of this thing of love, for the glory of Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.